This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday afternoon service of May the 22nd, 1992. The Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma and Glenn Miller are the speakers on this.
I come against mental problems. I bind you foul spirits that torment our minds. I bind and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of the in our unconscious mind. I bind the spirits that cause us the flashbacks of things of the past. I put the blood of Jesus against the subconscious mind, the areas of our minds that are controlled by things that have happened in the past. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash the subconscious mind, to clean the computer, to erase it in Jesus' name, so that it's clean in Jesus' name. Spirit of hurt. Yes, I come against the spirit of hurt. I break that curse over us in Jesus' name. That we got hurt by something somebody said or something somebody did, and it keeps coming back in recall. Spirit of recall, I bind and break your assignment over. Spirit of hurt, I break your assignment over God's people. I put the blood of Jesus against the subconscious of our mind. I bind the spirits of mental problems. I break the curse of mental problems off of God's people. I curse that and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. You spirits that cause God's people to have mental disorders, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I break your assignment over us in Jesus' name. We will have a clear mind. We will have a mind that retains the word of the Lord. We will have a mind that praises and magnifies the Lord. We will praise the Lord. We will magnify the Lord. We will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A spirit of insanity. A spirit of fear of insanity. I bind the spirit of fear of insanity. I bind the spirit of insanity. I break your assignments over these people. I loose our minds from it in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear, all kinds of fear. You mentioned it a minute ago, but I'll come back to it. Spirit of fear, I bind your powers over God's people. You have no right to God's people. You have no right to a fear of traveling, fear of flying, a fear of superstitions. I bind the spirits of superstitions. I break the curses of superstitions off of God's people. Superstitions about Friday and the number 13 and black cats and all these other superstitions. I break the curses of them off of us in Jesus' name and loose us from the powers and dominion of it. I break the dominion of it. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. The superstitions of witchcraft and sorcery, traditions that's come down the family line. I break those powers over us in Jesus' name. The traditions and superstitions of our family heritage. I break the curses of it over us in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What? Hypnosis. I come against a hypnosis. When we anyone here who's yielded their mind to somebody that's been hypnotized, I break the curse of it and the soul tie between the person that did it and you. I break the soul tie, and then I break the curse of it off of you. I loose you from the curse of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Did we deal with forgiveness, or did you do that this morning? Unforgiveness? Okay, we need to do that. We need to pray. Let's pray. Father, I come in the name of Jesus and ask you to forgive me unforgiveness that I hold against anyone. Mother, father, brother, sister, school teacher, a boss, employer, who else? A pastor, friends, yes, children, husband, or wife. Father, any unforgiveness, forgive me. And help me, Father, if necessary, I go and ask you for them to forgive me. And if you hold it against somebody that's dead and it bothers you, you confess it out loud and ask, say, Lord, I can't go to them, but I ask you to forgive me, and the Lord will remove it from you. Amen. Amen. If there's anybody while we're talking about, there's anybody you can think of, just and it has been a torment to you, or it comes to your mind, ask the Lord to forgive you, and I ask that person to forgive me. I know the person's not here. We're not dealing with Catholicism. But it's still the works as far as relieving the pressure or the guilt or whatever you want to call it. It works. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for hearing our petitions. I thank you for your blood that washes and cleanses us. I thank you for the blood of Calvary. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for the blood of Calvary. Jesus, I praise you. I don't know, understand all the how you did it for us, but I know you did because you said that you love us. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. We can never thank the Lord enough. We can never praise him enough for Calvary. And for all everything that is part of Calvary, as Brother Jack was mentioning last night, about all the parts, different parts that go with it. The Gethsemane and the thorn, the crown of thorns and the whipping and the pulling of the beard from his face. And all of these things were for you and for me. And I don't fully understand or comprehend it, but I thank Jesus for it. I thank him for it. And throughout eternity, that will be our main theme, is to praise him for what he's done for us. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk for just a few minutes here, and then we're going to pray for some other things. I'm going to talk about abortion. We've got a lot, there's been a lot said and done about abortion, and some of it's been okay, and some of it has had some strange consequences. But I think where the talk about abortion should start is when the kids are 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Then we wouldn't have any problem with abortion. Because if we teach the kids when they're real little that they're not to undress and before their brothers or sisters, and that God says that we're cursed if we do these things, if we tell the children and make them to understand that God said you're going to be cursed if you do these things, we wouldn't have all this problem we've got today. And we've got the problem today because it's never been taught from where I'm standing. I never heard anybody in all my life teach against sexual sins. I've heard it taught, you know, about, well, bless the Lord, here comes my missing girl. Where have you been so long? Hello, Mildred. Blessings to you. But it's a subject that has been, as Dear Abby said in her column, it's the closet demon. She calls it the closet demon in her column, incest. And that's what it amounts to. That's fornication, adultery, sexual sins. But if it were taught, and if our pastors, and there's a few that are beginning to do something about it, but if it were taught from the pulpit, we wouldn't have all the problem we've got today with abortion, because there would be some fear of God in some of these people that is not there. They have no fear of God's judgment. So that's why we have it so rampant. But God says that we're cursed if we do it. And he says you're cursed for 10 generations. Jeremy was talking about 4 generations, the sins of witchcraft and other gods and pleasure and all these things. They carry a 4-generation curse, but the sins of sexual sins carry a 10-generation curse. And I have said and will say many times yet, again and again, that I believe every family and every living person, unless you've been, unless you've prayed or somebody's prayed with you or break the curse, that every person is under the curse of incest and the bastard. Because I believe in 10 generations, someplace in 10 generations, that sin has taken place. And I believe that it's in every family and in every living person. And the only way we can come out from under it and be set free from it is that the curse be broken off of us. And you say, well, how do you break the curse? Well, tradition has told us, my tradition anyway, told me that all this curse has got taken care of when I got saved. that when I got saved, there was no more curse, that it was all done away with, that it was done. Well, I believed that, and I thought that was true, until we ran into some circumstances where God showed us that it wasn't true, that the curse still existed. So then we had to find out why. Well, it's very simple when I've come down and understood it. There are just two verses that explain it. One is John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We can just quit right there. And if we quit right there and don't use the rest of the verse, well, all the world's supposed to be saved. All we got to do is believe that Jesus is came in the flesh and that he died on the cross, and they're saved. But it says you have to believe and repent. The same is true with the curses. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse so that you and I don't have to bear the curse. It says that. But we must appropriate that to our lives for it to do us any good. I can stand and talk about it all day long, but unless I appropriate it, I've wasted my breath. And the same is true. We must appropriate the Scripture to our lives. You know, there are people who can almost quote the Bible, but they still claim to be infidels and do not believe in God. But they know the Bible better, some of them better than I do. They're not saved. They're not free from the curse, but they can quote the Word. So just quoting the Word, you have to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in or on him shall be saved. And that is true of the whole book. We have to believe, and then it works. It works for us. It is supposed to work for us, but we have to believe it. So we have to apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13, and that it will break the curses from off of us. But another tradition that I was raised under was that all these things back here that we're talking about here in the book of Deuteronomy, what I'm talking about right now is the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, that all of that passed away when Jesus died on the cross. That didn't apply, that none of this applies anymore. That's what my tradition told me. But I found out that my tradition was sure wrong. And it's Pentecostal tradition. It wasn't a Catholic tradition or a Baptist tradition. It's Pentecostal tradition. And so our traditions have a great deal to do what we have been raised and taught as a tradition. Not necessarily so outspoken about it, but it's just implied. Traditions that are different traditions have implied things, and we have taken those things as a fact, and then we can't believe some of the word when we hear it. We can't believe it because our traditions has warped our thinking in certain areas. Now there's another area, and I heard this on. Either on the Moody station or on a tape I was listening to, but I think it's the Moody station. People get up and they'll say, so-and-so pray. And he'll get up to pray and he'll say, now let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray. Well, they already said he was going to pray. He doesn't have to say, let's pray. They already said he's going to pray. But there's no place in the Bible where it says to bow your head and close your eyes. In fact, what does it actually say? Who can tell me what it actually says? Huh? It says, look up, lift your eyes, look up. Look up, it says. So when we close our eyes and bow our head, it is a tradition. But we're all bound by it. And I've been trying to break myself from it for quite a little while. And it's very hard. It is very hard to really break yourself of that of it. Because the Scripture really says, when we pray to look up. To look up for your redemption draweth nigh. So anyway, traditions, tradition. Well, the curse of incest and the curse of the bastard, we're going to pray about that. Because it needs to be broken off of us. Lust, all the problems of adultery and fornication and these areas... Doc mentioned one here when he was praying this afternoon, and I'll mention it again because I doubt that. I know there's some of you that haven't thought of this or noticed it. You've read it, but you never, it never didn't mean anything to you. Now, you may ask me, where does the scripture say anything about incest? Well, it's Lot's two daughters, and it's recorded in Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 23 and Exodus 20. Exodus, I believe. Let's look and see for sure. So I'm telling you right here. I've got so many scriptures marked on the edge of my Bible that... that's what I want. Genesis 19. Yeah, Genesis 19, 36. That's what we want, Jack. Thank you, sir. Yeah, but this is the original one. In Genesis 36, it says, and thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammoni, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, let's go back over to Deuteronomy 23 and read verse 3. It says, an Ammonite and a Moabite. Now, we just read over here in Genesis 19 who the Ammonite and the Moabite were. And now, so here it says, the Ammonite and the Moabite, Lot's heritage, his children through his daughters, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. 400 years approximately is what that states, that they are to be excluded from the congregation of the Lord. 400 years or 10 generations is what scientists or doctors tell us now is the approximate time it takes for the bloodline that is mixed to become one way or the other again. It takes 10 generations for mixed blood to become either one way, whichever way it's going to go. So that's what God is saying here, that you're under a 10-generation curse with incest. So, with that in mind, well, I was going to tell you something else here that Doc mentioned this afternoon here to the men. In Leviticus chapter 17, I believe it is, chapter 18, and let me explain another something that these verses say here. Verse 19 is the verse I want. But I will explain something else here that the way the King James reads, verse 19 says, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness. What that literally says is you shall not approach unto a woman to have sexual relations with her. Any place that word uncover the nakedness appears in the scripture, it actually in the original means sexual relations. It doesn't mean just take somebody have their clothes off and you looking at a naked person. It means sexual relations. So it says here in verse 19, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Now the uncleanliness means the time of the month when she has her monthly period. That's what it means. So it says that God considers that a sin to have sexual relations at that time of the month. And God says there, you shall not approach unto him. Now, let me see here. It says something else someplace. Yes, verse 18 of chapter 20 repeats this, only it adds something to it. It says, if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness or her monthly time of the month, and shall uncover her nakedness or have sexual relations with her, he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, let me explain that cutoff bit. That doesn't mean that you're just going to go out and somebody's going to kill you on the spot. There are different verses here where it says you'll be taken out and stoned or burnt or something. Well, that means that you're going to die before your allotted time. That's what that means. You'll die before your allotted time of 70 years. You'll be cut off by some type of sickness, prostate to cancer, female problems, a female cancer or something. A lot of people have a female and prostate trouble because they have committed this sin. But nobody's ever taught against it. And it's never been explained to us. And I'll lay you, well, I won't say that. I'll lay odds. That's what I was thinking. That 90% of the people in here that are married are guilty of the sin. Maybe 100% are guilty of the sin. But God says it's a sin. And he says you'll be cut off if you do. So we need to repent of it. So because if we sin, we get our wages. We quit sinning, we get life. But from our sin, we get our wages. And lots of us have gotten wages, and we don't know why we got them. There's female problems, there's prostate trouble, and a lot of it is because this law of God has been disobeyed. So we repent of it, ask the Lord to forgive us of breaking this law of His. And repent of it, and then ask the Lord to heal us and restore us. There's restoration and healing and for us. Now, you know, there's a lot of things we can pray for healing, and we can't get healed. Why? Here's one of them right here. You can have female problem or prostate trouble and be prayed for by everybody in the country and never be healed of it. Well, God can do it sovereignly, but you have to repent of the sin. And then there's healing. But nobody's ever told us about this, so we don't know to repent of it. So we need to why people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And how bad we're all destroyed. All of us. So we need to repent. And then other areas. I don't understand. There are a lot of things that I still need to learn, and all of us need to learn, because we don't have the answers for all the problems we got. And we all got a bunch of problems. But I want to find out the cause of them so I can be an overcomer and get rid of it. If I need to be to repent of something, why, it's not hard to repent. We need to repent. Well, let's repent about this one right here. Lord Jesus, I come and I ask you to forgive me for sinning against you, against my body, against my wife's body, in ignorance. Forgive me for having intercourse with my wife or my husband during the time of my wife's period. I ask you to forgive me that I might have life and not death. Lord, I don't want my wages. I want life. Now, Father, I come in the name of Jesus and I take dominion over a spirit that would have any right to any of us here because of this sin. And I bind and break its assignment over these people against a spirit of prostate trouble or female problems, a spirit of cancer of the prostate, cancer of the female areas, problems in the ovaries. I bind these spirits and I break their assignment, for the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And we've come and confessed this sin this afternoon, and I break the assignment of Satan over us today in Jesus' name, and I speak life and health to us in the name of the Lord. Now come out of these people. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the female areas. Come out of the male areas. Come out in Jesus' name. I speak life and death instead of death in Jesus' name. Now, by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, I speak restoration to these areas of our bodies. I speak restoration in Jesus' name. I command the body to receive the healing virtue of the scars and stripes of the Lord Jesus from the whipping post in Jesus' name. I speak health and strength in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I come against the spirit of incest. I bind the spirit of incest that's come down through the family line for the 10, 20, 30 generations in the past, and I break its assignment over every one of us here today. I break it over our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. I bind the powers of it in Jesus' name, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. You foul spirits of incest, I break your assignments over us in Jesus' name. Come out. Break your assignment in the name of Jesus. I loose these people from it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. A spirit of the bastard. I come against the spirit of the bastard. I break the powers and curse of the bastard over us in Jesus' name. I loose these people from it. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. And I come against it in the authority of the word of the Lord, that it is written that Jesus gives me authority to bind up the powers of Satan and to cast the demons out. I break your assignment over these people in Jesus' name. Spirit of bastard, spirit of adultery, spirit of fornication, spirit of bestiality, spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism, I bind and break your assignments over God's people in Jesus' name. I bind your power, break your assignment, and I loose you in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. You know, the devil's wants to destroy us. So what he's assigned to his demons to do is to make this reproduce every place that it can be reproduced. You see, he don't want it to run out in 10 generations. He wants to get it reproduced, so he's got a perpetual thing going. He don't want it to run out in 10 generations. He wants to get it reproduced, so he's got a perpetual thing going. Not only in these areas, but in all the areas. In the areas of the occult and whatever. You see, his purpose is to reproduce it so that he has a hold on you. And we've had holts on us and problems, and we haven't been able to understand why. It's because Satan has reproduced himself in our grandparents or in our parents or in us, and it carries on down and keeps reproducing. We've got to bring these places to an end where they don't reproduce anymore. Where Satan is said this far and no farther. Now, I don't have any scriptural basis for this, but except this. It says that Jesus went and sat down at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are put under his feet. Now, if he's going to go there and sit down until his enemies are put under his feet, and Satan and all of his demons are his enemies, then if he's going to stay there until that's done, then we've got to work on it more than just sit here and cast them out. Now, I don't know. I do this because I feel I have a right to do it. I bind the devils, the demons, and I bind them right now in Jesus' name. Every demon that we've cast out today, every demon that will come out because of these services this day, I bind them to the day of judgment. I take dominion over them in the name of Jesus. For it is written that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and I bind these spirits to the day of judgment that they can't re-enter anybody, reproduce themselves again in Jesus' name. I bind them and take that place of authority in the name of Jesus until Jesus shall judge you demons at the day of judgment. Now, I believe that I have a right to do that and that you have a right to do that. We need to take, because if we don't do that, all they're going to do is reproduce themselves over and over and over again in our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, and on down the line, as long as there is a reproduction. And I believe it's time that we started stopping, putting an end to Satan's heyday. Now, some people may contend with me. Well, I've just told you my grounds. Jesus said he's going to sit down until his enemies are under his feet, and Jesus said that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So I bind them in the name of Jesus and take their dominion over you spirits this afternoon and bind you. And Father, ask the angels of the Lord to come and take them and keep them in that bound until Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. Amen. Amen. Well, there's lots of things that are traditions. There are a lot of things that we have been brought up under in the denomination that we've been raised in, that the more I study and the more I read, I find that they're traditions and they're not scriptural. But when we get up and talk about some of these things, some people get very upset about them. But look and see if these things be so or not. Don't get upset about it. Study. Hey, here is the roadmap. Here's the guidebook. This is the book. As Brother Jim Coffey was saying this morning, that this is the guidebook. It's not my traditions. It's not what my pastor says. It's not what I was taught in Bible school. It's what the book says. So it says to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word. So it's not my place to prove anything to you. It's my place to prove to myself what it says. It's your place to prove to yourself what it says. Not because I say so or because somebody else stands here and says so. I'm not to believe you and you're not to believe me unless I can prove it with this. This is the proof. And otherwise, it's air. What did Paul say? He said, there are those among you who bring damnable heresies. And there are a lot of damnable heresies in the land today. And one of them is ultimate reconciliation. It's a damnable, damnable, damnable heresy. And it's rampant across the nation. And it's in a lot of prayer groups. And they don't even know it. Ultimate reconciliation means that there is no hell and there is no judgment. Ultimate reconciliation means that Satan will be restored to the place that he had in heaven. He will become the high archangel of heaven again, and that he will rule as one of the three ruling bodies of heaven, or whatever position he had when he was there. Ultimate reconciliation. And it's being taught not in the Baptist, not in the Methodist, or the Lutheran, or the Episcopalian. It's being taught amongst the charismatic Pentecostal people. They are the people who's teaching it, and they are the people who's believing it. Well, when I said that Satan would be restored, that was what I was implying. It teaches that there is no ultimate hell. It teaches that everything went out from God, and everything will return to God, and there is this great circle of the universe. And then when it completes its circle, it will return. That God, all spirits went from God, and all spirits will return unto God. They use that verse as one of their verses. And then another verse they use, that they say that the Scripture says that in the eons of time, and they say that an eon has an end, therefore time has an end, and everything at the end of an eon, it will return to God, and the spirit will come back to God, and there is no hell, and there is no judgment. And a lot of them teach that all the hell and judgment there is, we're in it today. That's our tribulations today, is that. We need to understand these things now. I know a lot of people who believe this. Oh, and we had one preacher here who was a wonderful man, and he believes it now. He's off into that. And I told him I couldn't have him back here anymore. And I say this, we have a letter that we send out most of the time, not every time, but most of the time to the ministers who come here to minister. And in that letter I state that if you get up and teach ultimate reconciliation, I will get up and remove you from the pulpit. I state that in the letter to him. And I will do that. If anybody gets up here and starts to teach that, or some other things that are in air. But that is the most damnable one of all, that one. I will remove them from the pulpit because it will bring death to you. It will bring death to you and not life. Death and not life. What else, Jack? Whatever that means. No. If it were true, it would be bad because it gives a license to sin. Gives a license to sin. Gives a license to sin. And we who are teaching like we do here, some of these people who have been our friends and still are our friends, and as far as just friends, they say, you're foolish, you're wasting your time, you're all this is for naught. Well, and that's another statement. People will say, I've had them said to me, well, you don't understand the higher revelation. If you attend a prayer group someplace where somebody says that to you, flee the place. Run for your life. If they say, well, you're not, and they'll say, I've had them say to me, well, you're not ready for this revelation yet. You haven't come to a place where you're ready for this revelation. Or this revelation is too high for you at this time. This is the foundation. This is the rock. And when it's gone, you haven't got any rock. Mm-hmm. See, that's another thing with prophecy. They use prophecy as a thing, and they state that the prophecy is now the living word, and this word is not doesn't apply, that the prophecy now supersedes this. I don't know how we got on this. But it's very important that you understand these areas. Because a lot of you are in prayer groups, and these people come through the prayer groups and bring this damnable heresies into the prayer groups. And you get, it's damnable. Just as Paul said it was. It's deception. And we don't want deception. We want the true word living, the true living word of God. Yes, yes. It is a seducing spirit. And they are very likable people. They're lovable people. And they have a way about them that they get into you. We know a whole lot. We know a lot of them. Well, we're getting way off here, but I've been to some of their conventions, and one of the main people who teaches this, her name is Van Ossen, Laura Van Ossen. She's from New Zealand or Australia, I don't know which. She now lives in Florida. If you ever hear of her name, do not go to listen to anybody who wants to take you to hear. But I've been to conventions. I didn't know what I was going to when we were traveling and recording for conventions and setting up book tables. We have been invited to come and Irma to set up a book table and for me to record the services, which we did. And God had us there so that we got an understanding of what this is, so that we could be a warning to others about it. Anyway, I was recording it. I was using those microphones that's right there in the ceiling. And that mic stand, those two mic stands right there. They were there with us. And this woman was telling all about all of this eons of time and the great circle and everything going out from God and coming back to God and going through all this bit. And it didn't bother me so much right then because I had never heard any of this, so I was just listening. And then she says, but God's not God if he don't give Lucifer back the place he had. He's not a God of love. And one day I'm going to walk down the streets of gold arm in arm. Yeah, and with a six pack in the other hand. And when that happened, I tell you, I ran cold. I literally ran cold. And I told Irma, we got to get out of this place. Now, to me, that is heresy of heresies. Blasphemy of blasphemies. To me, that was blasphemy. Yeah. So, but now that was over 20 years ago. So you see, Brother Derek Prince, we've printed an article that he's written about ultimate reconciliation that Derek Prince wrote back in the 60s. We've printed it in our little paper twice, and we probably ought to print it again, because evidently there must not be hardly anybody here who's ever heard of this before. So we need. I've done it. I've done it.
I mean, we've
done it. Yeah.
They're all right.
It's a form of purgatory. Only it exceeds anything about purgatory. It far exceeds purgatory. Yeah, it's universalism, and it is also reincarnation. It is a form of the teaching of reincarnation and universalism, all wrapped up in it. Well, it's time. It's time for supper. Yeah. Amen. But again I say, study to show yourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the Lord, so that we're not be taken in by these errors. I believe that Irma and I have had the privilege, it has been a privilege, to be introduced to these different areas, so that we can be a safeguard for the people who come here. So that we can be a safeguard for you. Now, there's other things as well, other areas, but this is the worst one. Anything else you want to add, Jack?
No.
Okay. Abortion? Well, I did. I talked about... yes. Amen. Well, praise the Lord Jesus. Well, if I think of some other thing before the week's over, I'll talk about that too. It seems like I get up here to make an announcement or do something, and first thing I know, I'm talking about one of these subjects that I had no intention to even mention when I stepped up here. See, but the Lord knows that we need to understand these areas, and so, amen, so be it. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of these vessels, that we'll be filled with thy glory and thy presence, that we'll be a praise unto your name. I thank you, Father, for the glory of the Lord to come forth in the midst of your people, and for the Holy Ghost to fill every area that there's any vacancy in, and I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. And Father, I thank you for the food that's prepared for it, for us. Bless it to us this evening. Make it health and strength to us, and I praise you. Amen, amen, and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.